Well, that was a lot of fun. There was a lot of chaos that happened in round one of the NHL entry draft. And us as Florida Panther fans, we got to just sit back, relax, and watch all the chaos happen on today's episode of the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast. We're not only going to talk about all the chaos that happened in the draft, but some of the signings around the National Hockey League, who to look at as far as division rivals and who they could be signing or trading. And we're going to go over the 2022-2023 schedule as promised, all on today's edition of the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast.
Your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome into this Friday, July 8th edition of the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're your team every day. Thank you for making the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast your first listen of the day. I'm Armando Velez from PantherParkway.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at MonoMan12. Follow the show account on Twitter at LO_FLAPanthers. And thank you for making the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast your first listen of the day. Don't forget to also subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Hockey and Locked On NHL. We'll be covering all the off-season activities around the National Hockey League. So, like I said at the beginning, that was a lot of fun. And usually when it comes to drafts or when it comes to the teams that I follow in really any sport, usually I'm just really on the edge of my seat, not at ease, and just wondering which is going to be the player that my team that I cover or that I cheer for, who are they going to take? Last night was not that night, of course. We know what happened last year with the Florida Panthers trading their first round pick for Sam Reinhart on the night of the entry draft last year. So we had a whole year to prepare. And my goodness, it was a pretty relaxing night at least in my household. And hopefully for you guys listening if you watched the draft, that you had an opportunity to have a little bit of a chill night yourselves as well. So this draft by many draft experts is known as a weaker draft compared to past years. Next year's 2023 draft is considered one of the best drafts in a while. And I got to give credit to Bob McKenzie, who's a prospect analyst. And he had a final projection of who was going to go number one overall. And a lot of people doubted who he picked that was going to go number one overall. He had Yurov Slutskovsky going number one overall to the Montreal Canadiens. And there's a streak of at least 10 years, I believe, of Bob McKenzie when getting the first overall pick correct in his TSN big board. But this one looked to be a little bit in doubt for quite a while. And lo and behold, Bob McKenzie was right once again that the Montreal Canadiens go with Yaroslav Slutskovsky, number one overall pick, left wing out of Slovakia. And then the first two picks in this draft were the first time ever that two Slovakian-born players were taken number one and two. And of course, a lot of people thought that Shane Wright was going to be the number one overall pick. This was years in the making of Shane Wright. Once he became draft eligible in 2022, that he was going to be the guy. Of course, not the best season in Kingston this last season, and then of course the with COVID and all that, didn't even have a season 2 years ago. But also, once Slutskovsky was picked number one overall, I told myself there's no way that the New Jersey Devils were going to pick Shane Wright due to position of need, because there would be a logjam with centers of Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes. So likely chances are they were going to go in another direction. And Slutskovsky was off the board. Man, Slutskovsky and Jack Hughes on the same line together would have been awesome. So I thought Shane Wright was going to go third overall to Arizona. And a lot of draft boards had the Arizona Coyotes already taking Logan Cooley, assuming that Shane Wright was going to be taken before them. So I was thinking, okay, there might be a change. But no, the Arizona Coyotes stuck to what a lot of people thought that they were going to, the direction that they were going to go with getting Logan Cooley, and Shane Wright slipping all the way down to four. And what a value pick for the Seattle Kraken to get Shane Wright. Matty Berniers and Shane Wright on the top two lines together. Chances are Shane Wright is going to stay in junior. Matty Berniers did sign his ELC, so he's going to be part of the Seattle Kraken. And Ron Francis might not look dumb after all. And I'm surprised, though, that Seattle didn't trade back into the first round in the draft last night. We saw the Arizona Coyotes do it. We saw the Montreal Canadiens do it. We saw the Chicago Blackhawks do it as well. But we did not see the Seattle Kraken do that last night. Speaking of the Chicago Blackhawks, they started off the day with zero picks. They traded their first round pick this year, last season, right before the draft, when they traded for Seth Jones and gave him an 8-year contract extension after that. But that was under their previous regime with Stan Bowman. Of course, we all know what happened with Stan Bowman. Of course, Joel Quenneville here in Florida with the Kyle Beach situation, forcing him to resign. And this wouldn't have been a direction that Stan Bowman would have gone in rebuild, because, of course, when you win three Stanley Cups, you never want to go back to those rebuilding stages. But even if you do, manage ownership is likely going to be patient with the GM there, and there's loyalty to those. But with Kyle Davidson, there's really, when it comes to, he wants to put his own stamp into this, the organization of the Chicago Blackhawks. He wants to put his own. And now the question is, with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, what's their future look like? What are the moves that the Chicago Blackhawks made? They traded Alex DeBrincat, a 2-time 40 goal scorer, to the Ottawa Senators for the seventh overall pick, 39th in this year's entry draft, and then a third next year. And the value of DeBrincat being a 2-time 40 goal scorer and only getting one first round pick out of it, man, that might have been a huge steal for the Ottawa Senators. And with DeBrincat now playing with Drake Batherson, Shane Pinto, Timmy Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, He could play both sides of the wings too, for Alex DeBrincat. So the fact that they have those little pieces, and the fact that Ottawa is using the assets that they've accumulated over the years to get a big time player in Alex DeBrincat. Alex DeBrincat is a big time player, but also I think of it as, yeah, the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be bad. The player that they ended up drafting, Kevin Korchinski, left shot defenseman. We don't know if he's a sure thing when it comes to his play on the ice. Maybe paired up with Seth Jones, who knows? But we know what Alex DeBrincat brings. And even if they're rebuilding for a few years, you still want that guy, that young kid who's going to at least help you throughout those awful years, so that you can build around. Now, we don't even know what the direction of the Chicago Blackhawks is. Go listen to Locked On Blackhawks with Jack Bushman. I'm sure he has a lot to say about what the direction the Chicago Blackhawks are going in. Columbus doubled down on defense with David Juracek as the sixth overall pick. That was the pick that they got with Seth Jones. And then their own pick at number 12, they get a left shot defenseman, Denton Medvedchuk. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And they already have a number one defenseman in Zach Werenski. And then they doubled down to help Elvis Merzlikins on the back end as well. So doubling down on the defense for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like I said earlier, the Arizona Coyotes traded back into the first round. Well, they had the 27th. They traded up 16 spots and to get the brother of Morgan Geeky, Connor Geeky, center. So they got not only one center in the draft in Logan Cooley, but also two in Connor Geeky. And from the San Jose Sharks' perspective, Mike Greer was just hired a week ago for the San Jose Sharks. And really, the scouting department was doing much of the work in preparing for the draft. So this gives Mike – that gave Mike Greer a little bit of time to look at what the prospects are there for the Sharks. And, of course, picks by volume, too. Again, because they got the 27th pick from the Coyotes, a 2022 second-round pick, and then another second-round pick, number 45, that was originally from the New York Islanders as well. So – picks by volume is what the San Jose Sharks are doing in their rebuild. And the Chicago Blackhawks, going back to them, they traded Kirby Dach, who the year that the Blackhawks drafted Kirby Dach, they were 12th in lottery odds, got all the way up to 3 the year that Kirby Dach was drafted in the Jack Hughes year that he got drafted. And not the most encouraging first few years for Kirby Dach. So it didn't look like that was the direction that the Chicago Blackhawks were going to go as far as re-signing Kirby Dach, and especially with the teardown that's going on in Chicago. We don't even know who their starting goalie could be next season as well. So really, really tough situation for the Chicago Blackhawks to be in. But of course, this is going to be what Kyle Davidson said, 5-year rebuild for Chicago. That was a pick that was originally traded from the Montreal Canadiens. They traded originally Alexander Raminov to the New York Islanders and a fourth round pick for that pick, and then they traded the signing rights for Kirby Dach to pair up with Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, and company. So the Atlantic Division, as far as young talent, is man, they're. They might, those teams might not be necessarily in the playoff chase next year, but it just goes to show that in the 2 to 3 year window, they can very well make their jump. And that's where the Florida Panthers really have to take care of their opportunity now in order to win, because those teams in the Atlantic could be on their way up. So That's really what I'm keeping an eye out for, that's for sure. But in the next segment, we're going to continue the talk of the draft. We're going to continue talking about salary dumps as far as teams around the National Hockey League. But first, we're going to tell you all about BetOnline. And BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports development, including league reviews and news, including this year's NHL draft, free agency, and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Continuing the second segment here on the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast on this Friday, July 8th edition of the show. So a few moves happened, actually, before we continue the draft coverage. Marc-Andre Fleury signs a 2-year extension with the Minnesota Wild, $7 million throughout the first 2 years, 3.5 AAV, with a full no-move clause to stay in Minnesota. Good value for the Minnesota Wild as they're dealing with a lot of dead cap on their roster with the buyouts of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. And Chris Letang, 6 years, $36.6 million contract extension, taking him until his age 41 season. The AAV is pretty good for a franchise player who's going to likely play 22 seasons with the Pittsburgh Penguins. But as far as the term, ooh, that back end is going to look not so pretty. But hey, if you're Ron Hextall, you're taking this 1 year at a time, and with the cap moving up, this could be good value for the Penguins. And who knows? He could spend the last few years on LTIR if he really wants to. So they'll get some cap relief off of that as well. So it's a numbers game for these GMs and what they're going to do. Also, Colorado, they only have a 6th and 7th round pick because they traded most of them. They traded for Alexander Georgiev of the New York Rangers, who was the backup to Igor Shesterkin. Good enough to be a number one goaltender, and just goes to show that the team around Darcy Kemper was really what really helped them win the Stanley Cup. And this is the first goalie since the 2010 Chicago Blackhawks who would have a goalie who won a Stanley Cup and not return the next season. So it's going to happen again 12 years later in the NHL with Darcy Kemper. And it's looking like that the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Edmonton Oilers could be in the market for a goaltender. And speaking of those teams, on draft night, those teams had two big trades, cap clearing trades. Let's start with Toronto. They trade Peter Mrazek to the Chicago Blackhawks for a second round pick. They trade back 13 spots to get rid of Peter Mrazek's $3.8 million AAV. And the Chicago Blackhawks get another pick out of that. Sam Rinzel, a right shot defenseman as well. So they're building up that back end along with Seth Jones and company. So they're building on that. So this, before we go back to the Maple Leafs, let's go also back to the Edmonton Oilers. They trade back three spots to clear the contract of Zach Kassian to the Arizona Coyotes. And Arizona had that pick originally as they got from Darcy Kemper to trade to the Colorado Avalanche and then trade up three spots in order to get Maverick Lemieux, so another defenseman for the Arizona Coyotes to build on with that team. So cap clearing moves for the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. That means these two teams could be in the market for a goaltender. They both have around $10 million in cap space now. So is a trade for Anaheim Ducks goaltender John Gibson in the works? Maybe. Or either of those teams could go after Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper didn't have the best playoff performance, but hey, he was good enough to help you win the game and win the Stanley Cup. So we could see Darcy Kemper be in one of those two teams because he is a free agent. Trade for John Gibson is going to be a little tougher. The Ducks don't need to trade him. Neither. They don't have to trade him now nor next year. He has a whole bunch of term on his contract as well. So a better situation for John Gibson would be going to a winning team. But hey, is what the Anaheim Ducks did in the draft for them good enough to convince John Gibson to stay? They had two first-round picks, one of them being from the Hampus Lindholm trade that they had in the trade deadline. So maybe there could be a situation where John Gibson says, okay, maybe I'll give one more shot. But hey, we could also see if there is an overwhelmingly great haul for John Gibson. I think the Anaheim Ducks pulled the trigger there. Another thing I want to talk about is Ivan Mirchenko, left wing from the Washington Capitals from Russia. He was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and great story and high upside for Ivan, and hopefully that he's able to play in the NHL one day. And the fact that the Washington Capitals with this pick, I'm rooting for someone like Mirchenko in that. And also with Chris Letang signing his extension with the Pittsburgh Penguins, he also got to announce the pick of Owen Pickering, left shot defenseman as well. One more thing with comes to the draft in the first round. Of course, we talked about earlier in the show about the pick that traded Sam Reinhart to the Florida Panthers for Devin Levi and a first round pick. For now, we know who the pick is for the Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres picked Yuri Kulik with the number 28th overall pick, center from Czechia. So now we can't really judge this pick now and who necessarily won the trade. This is like a 5-year window as far as what's going on. But hey, I'll tell you the truth. Sam Reinhart for a first round pick after what he has leading the Florida Panthers in power play goals likely is going to have a increased role this year, especially with Anthony Duclair being starting the year on IR. I'm liking the trade a lot right now with the Florida Panthers and the Buffalo Sabres as the Florida Panthers have a sure thing when it comes to Sam Reinhart versus the Buffalo Sabres. They're betting on Yuri Kulik as far as a pick. And also let's also go back to Chicago as well. The fact that they didn't really add to their prospect pool of players who have already played a few years in the NHL is a really scary situation for Chicago to be in because you're betting on hitting the bullseye on the dartboard with all these players who haven't even played any AHL games neither. So big chance that Kyle Davidson is taking for Chicago, really, in this draft. But hey, if you're gonna go full teardown, either do it all the way or don't do it at all. No, Kyle Davidson, there was no way that he was going to half-ass it when it comes to this, and it proved yet last night in the draft. So really exciting stuff for the state of the NHL, and just like I said, us as Florida Panther fans getting to just watch and be at ease yesterday, because that's really what it was for me being at ease the whole night. So I'm really looking forward to today as the draft starts at 11, really 50 minutes from the time I'm recording this. Right now it's 10:11 a.m. on a Friday morning, and it'll start with number 33, and we'll have 60 picks before the Florida Panthers are on the clock. With the Panthers, they got on the phone, they called around just to see what the market looked like. But of course, nobody was expecting for the Florida Panthers to pull a trigger with the lack of assets that they had. But hey, you do your part, you see what's out there, and you're doing your due diligence. And that's what Bill Zito did. So not a problem with what Bill Zito did as far as how he handled draft night and how he handled the Sam Reinhart trade, because hey, the Florida Panthers have a very valuable piece on their roster on the right wing. And also, let's not forget, Sam Reinhart can play center as well if need be. In the second round this year, this is the Sam Bennett pick that the Florida Panthers will not be having. Originally traded to the Calgary Flames along with Emil Hyman, but that pick will now belong to the Seattle Kraken as part of Calgary trading for Cal Yarncrook. So now let's see what Seattle picks with that pick. This one will be number, just checking real quick on, this will be number 61, the 61st overall pick. So let's see what the 61st overall pick ends up being, and then we'll judge from there a few years from now. Not now. Now is not the time to judge the trade and who won and who lost and all that stuff. Even with the Sam Reinhart pick, now is not the time to do it. In the third and final segment, we're going to cover the schedule for the 2022-23 season. As promised, we're going to discuss all that, what I like about the schedule and what I don't like about the schedule. We're going to discuss that and more on the third segment here on the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast. Third and final segment here on the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast on this Friday, July 8th edition of the show. As you notice, Nick Fairbanks is still on the IR, so hope you're feeling better, Nick, and hope to see you next Friday. And for the Panthers, they released their schedule on Wednesday. And for this schedule, I was really expecting more to start the season at home, especially being the President's Trophy winners. But of course, when you bow out of the playoffs as early as the Panthers did, you're not going to get as much schedule favors as you want when it comes to big games and nationally televised games too. So the Panthers are going to start off the first three games on the road at New York, at Buffalo, which the Buffalo game will be on my birthday. So I'm spending a matinee game with the Buffalo Sabres on my birthday, a matinee game there. Boston to start the season at TD Garden. And then home opener is October 19th against the Philadelphia Flyers. And then all the month of October, four home games and then five road games. It's very road heavy, really, to start off the season, where November there is eight road games and, doing the math in my head, seven home games there. You'll see Connor McDavid come to town. You'll see the Dallas Stars come to town, Calgary, St. Louis, Boston. And then there's the West Coast trips for the Panthers. There'll be three West Coast trips. There's a sneaky one. I'll go over the first one. The first West Coast trip will come in November at Arizona, at San Jose, LA, and Anaheim. The LA and Anaheim is a back-to-back, which I like because they're only 45 minutes apart. You don't have to worry about an overnight flight, getting into a hotel at some kind of late hour. So whenever they're done with their game against the LA Kings, just a 45-minute drive south to Orange County, and then their game is the next day. Likely no morning skate as well for their game against the Ducks. And then and the end of that West Coast trip comes on the 6th of November. And then they'll have another West Coast trip later that month, starting in Edmonton and Calgary, back-to-back there, Vancouver, Seattle, and then a few days off before they end in Winnipeg. And then there'll be a stretch of home games there before they go to the Atlantic part of the East Coast. And then this one is a sneaky one. Very, very sneaky West Coast trip that the Panthers will go in quite a few different cities in different parts of the country. January, this one is strange. At Detroit, day off. At Dallas, a noon game. At Colorado and at Vegas. So they're going in few different locations in just under a week. So that's a sneaky third West Coast trip for the Panthers. As far as rivalry games, first matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning will be on October 21st at home at FLA Live Arena. Their next game, their first road game against the Tampa Bay Lightning will be December 10th, a 4 p.m. game, actually. A good time for everyone to watch as the looks like I think that's College Football Championship weekend. I'm not sure yet. I don't know that on the top of my head, but if the College Football Championship weekend is the weekend before, that's a good time for many fans to check out that game, that's for sure. And it, of course, I'll be tuned in as well. As far as the schedule goes, usually a lot of times the NHL likes to put the Northeastern teams in December and January in Sunrise. But it's not so much the case this time around with at least Toronto. Toronto's not making their way to Florida in December. Toronto won't even be making their trip to Florida in January, and neither February as well. So it'll be a while in that stretch of when it's cold that Toronto will not be coming to South Florida. January is a gauntlet of road games as well. We talked about that sneaky West Coast trip, but there'll also be a little bit of a road trip to Buffalo, Toronto, and Montreal in that one, along with a trip to New York, Madison Square Garden, and Pittsburgh. So only five home games in January. But really, the month that the Panthers will have the most home games will be the month of March, where they'll be at home for 2 weeks straight, really 3 weeks straight, actually. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There'll be a 7-game homestand in the middle of all of that. And then let's also not forget that the Panthers will also be at home right before the All-Star break, before it comes to Sunrise, Florida. They'll have 2 games against the LA Kings and Boston back-to-back at home, and a whole week off, and then preparing for the NHL All-Star game in Sunrise, Florida. And they snuck this into the ESPN broadcast in the final few minutes. And the broadcast said that the 2023 NHL entry draft will be in Sunrise, Florida next season. No official announcement from the NHL, but the ESPN broadcast apparently linked that information as far as that. And this won't be the first time that the Panthers would be hosting the NHL entry draft. They hosted it in 2015 recently, and they'll be hosting it again in 2023. So that's a cool part, bringing the draft back down to South Florida and getting the fans excited about it as well. As far as the end of season schedule, I'm not expecting the Florida Panthers to win the President's Trophy again, but I don't like the end of the season schedule with Toronto and Carolina there, two contenders in the Eastern Conference, where those games might not mean anything. Who knows? We don't know whether they'll be clinched in their spot or they'll be fighting for home ice advantage on the very final game of the season. Now, looking back at this again, Toronto's only two visits to Sunrise, Florida will come in the last 2 months again. March 23rd, a Thursday, and then the second to last game of the season, April 10th. What will that second game mean? Probably nothing. I don't know. If it plays out anywhere like it did last season, those games might not mean anything. An additional note is their second trip to Tampa. We talked about their first trip to Tampa on December 10th. Their second trip to Tampa will be on a Tuesday night, February 28th, last day of February. And yeah, Montreal will be making another, they'll be making a trip to Sunrise in December, and they'll be making a trip to Sunrise in March as well. So those are the teams to look out for as far as the popularity of teams around the NHL. As far as rematches between the first round matchup in the Washington Capitals, looks like that the Florida Panthers will be hosting the Washington Capitals on November 15th, a Tuesday night for the Panthers, and looking to see where they will be visiting the Capitals. They'll be visiting Washington February 16th, and looks like that, and April 8th. So two trips to Washington as well in February and April. So that's kind of a breakdown of the schedule. Two West Coast trips and a sneaky third West Coast trip towards the end. And it's all coming in consecutive months. And you could look at this a few ways. You can see it as favorable for the Panthers because they're getting it out of the way. Or you could see it as detrimental for the Panthers because that is an opportunity for, if they slip up in those West Coast trips, that they will have a hard time recovering if they don't do well there. So that's a little bit of something to look at when it comes to the schedule. But hey, you got to play the games that you know you're going to get 41 home games and 41 away games regardless. So the Panthers are not going to make any excuses neither when it comes to the beginning of the schedule and the tail end of how much packed it is when it comes to the amount of home games or how long these extensive road trips are for the Panthers. But I don't necessarily like that they're in consecutive months, but hey, at the same time, if you can get them out of the way and then finish the rest of the season really at home, really, I mean, the beginning of last season was home heavy. And the last part of the season was really road heavy as well. Looks like it's going to be the opposite this time around for the Panthers. So something to be excited about. Home openers October 19th, once again, against the Philadelphia Flyers. That'll be the day that the Panthers will be raising the President's Trophy banner. Going to be an exciting night for the Panthers. I hope that FLA Live Arena is packed for that night in order to celebrate a great season regardless of the playoff results, and I'm hoping that we have a packed house there in Sunrise, Florida. But on Monday's edition of the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, we're going to go over the second round and beyond of the NHL entry draft and to see what kind of movement the Florida Panthers make with their six picks in from the third round all the way to the seventh round. And we're going to go over some of their profiles, what they bring to the table, how long it will take for them to make it to the NHL roster if they are offered an entry-level contract. And we'll talk about that more and whether they're going to be going over to Estero now, Charlotte, or be making their way to the Florida Panthers roster soon. The last part is very unlikely, but we'll be covering that and more on Monday. But in the meantime, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast to be notified every single time the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast jumps into your podcast feed. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Hockey with Flip Livingstone and Steel Road, and we'll be covering all the offseason activities around the National Hockey League. Thank you for making the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast your first listen of the day. And for your second listen of the day, make sure you listen to today's episode of Locked On NHL. From every draft pick to every free agency signing, Locked On NHL has you covered Monday through Friday. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So I'm Armando Velez, signing off. And you've been listening to Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're to your team every day.